Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Oh, man, the mercy of God that He has kept me from going astray and coming out with the right numbers. 4990 to 2011, you get 7001. You subtract 1 year because there's no year zero. And so it's actually exactly 7,000 years.
Well, that's Harold Camping, founder and president of Family Radio. He says he's figured it out. Again, when Christ will return. He's got his math. He actually has an engineering degree to back it up. But, of course, he's probably more famous as a radio evangelist and predictor of Christ's return. He's done it once before. And if he's right, he says May 21st, 2011, which is not very far away on calendar, is when Christ will return. It comes out to an even 7,000 years from some date. His math is rather interesting. He begins with Christ hanging on the cross on April 1st, 33 AD. He jumps forward to April 1st, 2011, 1978 years. And then he multiplies that by the number of days in the solar year. Adds 51 days, I'm not sure why, and comes out with, if you factor it down, significant numbers from the Bible. And he says that proves it. Christ is returning May 21st, 2011. And yet the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. Joining us to talk about this prediction, Pastor Brent McGuire. Pastor McGuire is a regular guest, and he's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. Brent, welcome back.
Good to be here, and blessed epiphany to you, Todd.
And to you as well. Generally speaking, what would you say to someone who says, anyone, not just Harold Camping, but anyone who says that they can, through biblical scholarship calculation, determine the date of Christ's return?
You're not a Christian. It's as simple as concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. No man is given to know when. It's just as simple as that. And anyone who claims otherwise is contradicting Christ himself.
There have been no shortage of those who thought or who claimed to be able to determine a date. I mean, especially recent Christian history is littered with people who think they've figured it out. How, in that kind of thinking, usually coming from some strange end times perspectives, how do they get around the passage, no one knows the day or the hour?
Well, it's hard to justify Camping and the many others who have nailed down an exact date. I don't know how they rationalize that in light of Matthew 24:36. However, the left behind authors. Lindsay, I think, before them, was in this same vein, not giving you a precise date. However, would say we have every reason to expect, based on these secular events, that Christ's return is within so many decades of our now living. And they justify that as not a contradiction of what Christ says. With these words that he says the day or the hour, he doesn't rule out knowing the season. Who's to say we can't come up with the year or the decade? And that truly is what LaHaye and Jenkins say in their kind of nonfiction accompaniment volume for their Left Behind books. When they handle that text, they say, well, some criticize this for trying to find the day or the hour in which Christ will return. Oh, no. We're simply showing on the basis of Scripture and current events that we're likely within the season.
Okay, it's interesting because I think if I'm not mistaken, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, author of the Left Behind series, and several other books together, have said that there was an event, I believe the founding of the nation state of Israel, the modern nation state of Israel, that I think, in their words, started the end times stopwatch ticking again. What do they mean by that?
Well, what they mean by that is that in their reading of Ezekiel and Daniel, and most especially the book of Revelation, there are certain events that must take place regarding the nation state of Israel before we can reasonably expect as Christians for our Lord to return. So for all those hundreds of years between the destruction of Jerusalem and the founding of the nation state of Israel again in the 20th century, there was really no reasonable, shouldn't have been a reasonable expectation on the part of Christians living during that time that Christ return. However, now that Israel is on the world map again, and we're seeing movements toward, they would argue, the rebuilding of the temple, and et cetera, it can't be long now.
As far as you can tell, is that what Harold Camping is doing? How is he basing his prediction of May 21st, 2011?
Well, he's bogged down in this kind of numerology, isn't he? Where he kind of assigns numbers to different picture language passages in the Bible and comes up with this date, which apparently he's done before in vain. So I would say Camping's has a little different approach from LaHaye and Jenkins, and it strikes me as somewhat Kabbalistic, that Jewish secret cultic practice of breaking the words of Scripture almost into a mathematical code, and going past the plain meaning of the words to some kind of hidden knowledge based on assigning meaning to numbers. Camping seems to be more in that vein.
What do you think is the impulse here for those, either like Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, those who want to say, well, it's got to happen sometime soon or before X year, and Harold Camping, who says it's going to happen precise calendar date, May 21st, 2011. What's the impulse here to set the date?
I think control. I think one of the effects of Christ telling us that we can't know the day or the hour is to rob us of that sense of control that would come with knowing. We're planners by human instinct. It would be very nice for us to be able to kind of put on our Palm Pilots or our electronic calendars to Tuesday, get the groceries, Wednesday, meet the repairman between 1 and 5, Thursday, put on your best clothes because Christ is returning. We want that kind of certainty, and so we can plan for it. But Christ doesn't give us that. Instead, he says, be ready at all times. Now the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The call to repentance is now, and now we should repent of our sins and turn to him in faith for our forgiveness, so that whenever he comes, we're ready. That's in a sense a harder call than the one that says, "Hey, you've got X number of hours between now and when I'm coming back once and for all. Do what you want in the meantime, but be sure and get your act together shortly before that moment."
How would you respond to someone like Harold Camping, who would say, "Look, the difference between me and you, Pastor McGuire, is that I consider every last syllable of the Bible to be God's word. I think that God has thoroughly inspired this word, and that those words are intended to tell us things, sometimes even as code. And you seem to have a less than sufficient view of God's word there, that the Bible may be God's word, but not in the same kind of power and force that I would contend it is.
Well, I would say just the opposite, that it's because God's word is clear, and it's because God wants all of us to understand it, that clearly an approach that requires a civil engineering degree to understand the words of Scripture undermines the notion that Scripture is clear and plain. Instead, it is clear and plain, and the clear and plain sense of the words concerning that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son of Man, but the Father only, is that saying he's coming on May whatever, 2011, is something a believer in Christ can't say.
When we come back from this break, a lot of mischief has been perpetrated either by or after those have set dates. There are entire movements, and I can think of several, many of them centered in the United States in recent decades or centuries, that started essentially with someone predicting a date of Christ's return that didn't pan out, and yet movement doesn't die off. What's the greatest danger of setting a date? Why hasn't God allowed us to put it on our calendar? I mean, Pastor McGuire has given us part of the reason there, and that is we're not in control of this. We're not in control of the timetable, and we know exactly what we'd do if we knew the day or the hour. We'd put it on the calendar just like everything else we do, and we wouldn't think about it again until, well, a couple weeks out. Jesus says that in the last times, which certainly are coming, there will be many who come in his name, some of them even saying, I'm he, I am the one, I'm Jesus returned. We'll talk about some of those warnings about the end times on the other side of this break. This Wednesday afternoon, January the 6th, Pastor Brent McGuire of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas is our guest. We'll talk about Harold Camping's prediction that Christ will return, date certain, May 21st, 2011.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
The churches think I'm a nut. They think I'm crazy. They think I'm a false prophet. They think I've lost it because they are not listening to the Bible.
That again is Harold Camping, founder and president of Family Radio. He set a date for Christ's return, May 21st, 2011. We're talking with Pastor Brent McGuire about that prediction and about all kind of date-setting efforts for the end times. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 6th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. If I'm not mistaken, a lot of mischief has been perpetrated either around or after certain attempts to set the date for Christ's return. I mean, some of them have actually not panned out, and yet, remarkably, the movements continued. Harold Camping made his prediction back in the 90s, and his followers were not deterred. What's going on here with these followings of people who are willing to have a man make a prediction, and it doesn't come out, and that they still believe he's telling the truth?
You know, there's been a lot of work on this from a psychological standpoint, and what you really have in almost all of these cases is a cult of personality. And when you have a group dynamic like this, in which all of you over against the world are committed to a certain proposition, as bold as that this is the date, the day of the end of the world, then even in the wake of that being proven patently false, the day comes and goes, there's such a bond among the members of that group and the members of that group for their leader that bond remains. And so explanations are sought. And in this case, Camping claims to have made a mathematical error with his 90s prediction. And so I'm sure he has followers from the 90s still with him today, and just as convinced that this new date is the real one.
Is there, I mean, you just mentioned cult of personality. Do you think there is a connection between the impulse to set the date, the kind of inexplicable credulity of those who can watch the date come and go without it being fulfilled and yet still thinks a man like Harold Camping is telling the truth, and the fact that some of these things actually turn into cults? I'm thinking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and their origin comes from a time when they set a date, it didn't happen,
right,
and then a whole theology is spun out of it.
Right. The Campbellites, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Again, you don't want to can't see into the heart of this Mr. Camping. But that's certainly a place to look in terms of a motive for this. On the other hand, maybe he is sincerely convinced that this is the date, and based on the way he reduces the Bible to a number code, he really believes this, is fervent about it, and has attracted a following.
Could it be even more dangerous? I mean, I don't know if this has happened, but Jesus predicts that in the end times, there will be those who come even claiming to be him, to be
right,
Christ returned.
Exactly. Some of these figures in the past who have predicted dates have gone more than just to say that this is the date of Christ's return, but have claimed a mantle for themselves, if not claiming to be the Messiah themselves, claiming to be his first lieutenant, something like that. That's right. That's right. That's all wrapped up in this. And again, I think our Lord is loving us, is caring for us ahead of time by giving us this warning about what will happen in the days to come, and so that we're not duped. We're not led to follow these fellows who claim something that they can't claim.
Someone might ask, what's the good of knowing all the things that the Bible teaches about Christ's return if we don't know when it's going to happen?
Oh, well, there's so much comfort to the Christian to be told that Christ is indeed coming again, and that all of us who have put our faith in him over against the risks and the persecution that sometime come with that, that we're one day going to be vindicated, that Christ is going to keep his promise to us to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth and to give us the inheritance he promised to us. And so that is very much worth knowing, that there are promises yet to be fulfilled. The consummation of this salvation is yet to take place, and so Scripture does spend some time on that reality, that hope we have. At the same time, it serves for those unbelievers as a message of law, that Christ is coming one day to judge the living and the dead. And so that needs to be preached as well to the unrepentant, that it's coming, and that you don't know the day or the hour means you need to repent now. And when the law does its work, of course, then Christ with his gospel rushes in, and with that gospel comes all those promises we just talked about.
When Jesus says you don't know the day or the hour, is he actually saying that he could return at any time? And if so, how could we know that he could return at any time?
Well, he says exactly that. I remember C.S. Lewis's commentary on this passage, and I think it's really to the point, and that is that when Christ is asked what are the signs of the coming of the kingdom, he basically gives them things that have always been with us: earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and famines, to make exactly that point, that the signs of my coming are with you even now, which means even now I may return. There's never been a point in the history of the church in which Christians could not reasonably expect Christ's return to be imminent. The long history of the church is one in which Christian writers refer to the days in which they live as the last days. We have been in the end time since Christ's ascension. And for that reason, no Christian should have felt silly before us to have expected Jesus to come in his or her day.
If it can happen at any time, that means it not only can happen tomorrow or today, it could happen 1,000 years from now. And I don't like the idea of that, Pastor McGuire. Is that why the church continues to pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus"?
That's right. That's exactly right. As we Christians hunger and thirst for righteousness in a world in which there's everything but righteousness, that is our prayer. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, indeed.
Pastor Brent McGuire is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. Pastor McGuire, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you. He says he's coming quickly. Now, obviously, quickly is not a function of our clocks or our calendars. There is and must be a divine perspective on the timetable, if you will. And we don't know God's clock. But we do know the one who is returning. We don't know God's date, although he has set one. God is the only one who's permitted. The Father is the only one who's permitted to set the date and to know the date. But we do know the one that he has appointed to return in judgment and for the resurrection of all flesh. What we do know so far outstrips what we don't know. See, the problem with the date setting is it tries to delve into the hidden counsel of God, and it tries to turn Christians' minds to obsess on when rather than who. Whether your date setting is, the clock started ticking when Israel was founded, or you're like Harold Camping, looking for codes and numbers and multiplications and factors to determine a date when Christ will return. It turns the mind and the heart and the faith of the Christian away from the who and on to the when. And Jesus says, don't worry about the when. I don't even know. But he is the one who is returning. And the comfort of Christ's return is not that we know when it's going to happen, or even that we know that it's going to happen, because that is certain, of course. The comfort of Christ's return is we know who is coming back. It has come quickly, Lord Jesus, and the emphasis is not on quickly, but on Lord Jesus. Because he returns with forgiveness and acquittal and in judgment to declare us righteous, just as we have been declared righteous by his blood already, and to raise all flesh and to inaugurate a kingdom that will never end, the same kingdom he has already inaugurated by his death and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. The angel said to the disciples that just as you've seen him go, you'll see him return. But they didn't say when, but they did say who. Him, Jesus, our Savior. By the way, we'll post some online resources on the end times at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Hour two of Issues, etc., straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.